Doug, thank you for filling in this morning. Dwight was having a little trouble with his voice there, but Doug came to the rescue, and we appreciate it. Is it too hot in here to y'all? Yes. Could someone turn the temperature down back there just a little bit? Marty, can you do that? If you think it's hot here. Thank you all for being here this morning. We really, really do appreciate you being here. And it's been cold. We've been through ice, just about everything. But it looks like the promise is for better weather on the horizon. And we're looking forward to that. And I hope that you are as well. I had a friend one time who went to the pawn shop and needed money. And he had a particular item that he wanted to pawn. And he walked in. And he did pawn it. He got the money. And, when he got back home, he realized he'd made a mistake. He went back and got his item back. I don't know how many times you have ever gone into a pawn shop. Sometimes when you go into a pawn shop, you see what all they have in there. And sometimes you purchase it. And then you realize, why did I do that? Why did I buy that particular thing? And it wasn't what I thought that it was going to be. And y'all are still fanning like mad. Is it really that hot to you? Marty, can you turn this one down? Just turn it on air conditioner. It's only 68. That's pretty warm. Yeah. Anyway, if you can reduce that and... This morning I want to talk about Satan's pawn shop. I don't know if you've ever been to Satan's pawn shop or not, whether you've gone there to pawn something, to buy something, or to sell it. He always offers top dollar for what you have. You know, the devil promises a lot of things, and he doesn't always deliver, however. And that's one thing that we have to remember about Satan, whether it's his pawn shop, whether it's his schemes, his devices, that he often uses to lure us away from our God who is in heaven. One of the most interesting stories of the Old Testament takes place in the book of Genesis, chapter 25. It takes place because there's a little sibling rivalry going on here. And then let me read it for you here, beginning in verse 29. Now Jacob cooked the stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was very weary. And Esau said unto Jacob, he said, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I am about to die, so what is the birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to his brother Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank. He arose and he went his way and thus despised his birthright. Now, why was the birthright so important? Well, they deceived, or rather Esau, Jacob deceived his father, Isaac. And we know that in reality, the devil was behind it all. And he got Jacob to beg for the birthright from Esau. Now, you may say in your mind, what is the birthright anyway? Why is that so important? Well, the birthright, if you were born first in the family, you would get 2/3 of the estate. So what happened was the fact that Esau had two-thirds of the estate, but he sold it to his brother, who was a deceiver, Jacob, for just a bowl of soup. That's all it meant to him. When in reality, he forsook his God. You know, when you think about going into Satan or the devil's pawn shop, one of the things that you will do is pawn your own influence. How important is your influence to you? The Bible says better it is to have a good name than to have riches thereby. But sometimes people would rather have the riches of the world and give up their good influence upon other people. And when you go into Satan's pawn shop, you will pawn your influence. You don't even need to be in his pawn shop. But listen to what Christ had to say about your influence in the book of Matthew 5 and 16. He says, "To let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your God who is in heaven." You and I are called upon by God to let our light shine. Our Christian influence. Are you an influence for good upon other people? Do people that know you or people that are acquainted with you, do they see you as one who is a genuine Christian, or do they see you as one who simply plays the part? When we talk about influence, we're talking about how much effect our life has upon other people around us. And when you are in Satan's pawn shop, you are there losing your influence. Who influences you? Think about that a minute. Satan may influence you, but other people out there in the world may influence you as well and cause you to turn away from your God who is in heaven. Christian must be ready concerning influence. Everywhere you go, you are transparent. You're living a transparent life. People are watching you. And the Bible in the book of Ecclesiastes even said that God knows the secret things of our life and they will be revealed. All may not have the ability to preach. You may not have the ability to teach, but you can adorn the doctrine. And when Paul meant that, what he meant by that was the fact that you and I are to live in such a way that people see the gospel of Jesus Christ in our life. And they are one to Christ. The Bible says that men are often won by the godly influence of the woman and vice versa. Sometimes we just don't realize how far-reaching our influence is. You know, I can remember back as a young boy growing up in my hometown, how many people influenced me to be a preacher of the gospel. There was one little school teacher there in Hallsville that I knew real well. Her name was Ms. Nancy Lawrence. And she will never, ever know this side of eternity how she influenced my life and helped me become the preacher that I am today, and I will always be indebted to her life. Sometimes we say, well, nobody's going to be influenced by my life. But I can tell you that people are being influenced right now. Your presence at this assembly today is influencing other people here, and it will influence other people that didn't show up. We need to spot the Christian influence and start living like a Christian, as we mentioned in our Bible class this morning. There is a tremendous power in the Christian influence. But Satan will do everything he can to destroy your influence. He will get you to be involved in things that you shouldn't be involved in. He will get you to lie, to cheat, to steal, to kill. He will do anything in the world to draw you back into his clutches. He will. And when he does that, he knows that he is destroying your influence. The Bible says that Demas loved the present world, and so he left Paul. He went away from God. And there are many in the Lord's church today that have walked away from our Lord. When we think of the church, who are we really? Simply an organization of those working to influence other people and save their soul. That's why you and I are here. We weren't placed in this world. God didn't just say, well, I think I'm going to create some human beings and give them a chance to have a good time on earth. He didn't. Jesus didn't die for us to have a good time on earth. That was not the reason he shed his blood. But he shed his blood that we might be forgiven of our sins and then propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why we are here. But demonic influences upon the life of a Christian are horrible. They are. Many of us probably this morning, if we were being honest, could truthfully say that we know of some that are Christians that are not here, but there was a time in their life when they were very loyal unto God and they never missed a worship service of the church. It didn't make any difference whether it was on Sunday morning for Bible class or worship that morning or whether it was at a Sunday night service. Whenever the church met, they were there. But they have been so influenced, if you will, by the demonic forces of this world and no longer are faithful unto our God. So let me tell you this morning, don't pawn your influence. But there's another thing that people pawn when they walk through the doors of the devil's pawn shop. Not only do you lose your influence, but sometimes people pawn their joy. You know, the difference between being a Christian and a non-Christian is the joy of the Lord. Jesus said, my joy I give unto you, and no man taketh it from you. Nobody can take it, but you can give it up. You can walk into Satan's pawn shop and lay it up there and give it away for just a little bit of money or whatever. Paul said that we are to be a people that rejoice. Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. We ought to be people that rejoice. We've been singing these songs this morning about rejoicing, and I'm thankful and delighted that we can rejoice. But never, ever pawn your joy. You may not get it back. Joy is proof that God is a part of your life. For in His presence, the Bible says, is there the fullness of joy evermore. Don't let anyone take your joy from you. But Satan will do his best. You know, I've learned in life that sometimes when it appears that things are rocking along just right and everything is just going great, Satan will step in. And he will do his best to rob your joy and say, do you really want to live this life of Jesus? Why would God keep allowing these things to come into your life if he really loved you? And that's his way of bringing us down. Don't let Satan bring you down. Nehemiah 8, I like this great prophet of old. And this is one of my very, very great passages, my favorite. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I am not going to sell out to Satan. I'm not going to give up anything. I'm not going to even be in his pawn shop. But many people do. Many people find themselves there and they wonder why they can't conquer temptation. You know, the devil offers you every temptation in the world, just like he offered Jesus the temptations of the world in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Jesus had been fasting, and the devil came along and said, you know what, you can turn these stones into bread. Why don't you do that? You can sustain your life. And Jesus says, yes, but it is written in the book of Deuteronomy that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so the devil didn't win out there. Jesus held on to his joy. But then the devil takes him to a high mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, Christ, these can be yours. I'll see that you get them. Come to my pawn shop, and I will make sure that these things are yours. Jesus did not sell out. And then he took him to the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, you know what? If you just cast yourself off of that temple, he said, God's going to send angels to come and lift you up. He said, yes, but it is wrong for me to tempt the Lord my God. So all that Jesus saw at the pawn shop, he never gave in to. He never sold out. He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. We are to rejoice. And that is precisely what Jesus did. You know, the Bible even talks about him facing the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Now, how could you be joyful knowing that you're going to die and that you're going to leave this world? If you know that heaven is your home, if you know that when you die that you're going to live with God eternally in heaven, there is no greater joy. Matter of fact, Jesus said one of these days, he is going to say to all of us who are faithful to him, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Heaven is not a dismal place, but heaven is a place that is filled with joy. Now, that's what Christ said, and it is so important. But some people choose to live on the wild side. And what I mean by that is they pawn all the great blessings of God, take them down to the pawn shop, and give them up. They are lured away from God. Happiness is the gentle whisper of the divine, reminding you of your inherent worthlessness. You are worthy. You know why? Christ made us worthy. I'm not worthy in and of myself, but I am worthy because Christ died for my sin. And I would tell you again, don't pawn your joy. Don't get rid of your influence for good. Sometimes people say, well, he lost his influence. No, it just went from good to bad. You ever seen people like that? I mean, had a tremendous, great influence. But then that influence turned sour, and it went from good influence to a bad influence. Parents tell their kids, don't do this, because those people will lead you away from God. It's true. Evil companionship will corrupt good manners. But thirdly, when you go to Satan's pawn shop, you pawn your peace. You pawn your peace. You know, the peace of God is something that's so hard for us to explain, isn't it? If I were to ask you this morning, do you have the peace of God? Well, yeah, I have the peace of God. And then I've had other people say, oh yeah, I have the peace of God. It's right here in my heart. It's right there. I can feel it in my heart. And you know what? For a long time, I used to chide people that said that. But I've learned that if we don't feel the peace of God in our soul, we probably don't have it. I ask you this morning, where is your peace? Jesus, again, in the book of John, the 14th chapter and verse 27, said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world. You won't find the kind of peace that I'm giving you down at Satan's pawn shop. Not going to find it. He said, because the peace that I give you is an inward peace. The peace that I give you is not controlled by outside circumstances. I can be at peace with God regardless. You know, some people are so afraid to die. They are. I heard about a man one time who robbed a bank and he took some hostages. Anyway, the man who was robbing the bank, looked at a man and said, did you see my face? And he said, yeah, I did. And the man shot him and killed him. He looked at another man and he said, "Did you see my face?" And he said, "No, but I think my wife got a glimpse of you." You know, in life, sometimes people are afraid that they're going to die. You know what? If you're a child of God and if you are a Christian and your influence is what it ought to be, and you have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God, we sing that old song, don't we? "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." The Bible talks about some who departed this life in peace. You have the power to protect your peace. You do. Matter of fact, Jesus challenged you to hold on to it. Don't give it up. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, the scripture says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee," not at Satan's pawn shop, "because he trusteth in thee." Real peace conquers fear. Real peace that we have with God conquers Satan. In John 14:27, Christ says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's why I said that peace conquers. And it will eradicate the fear that we have in our hearts. Don't sacrifice your peace trying to point out someone else's true colors. You know, we do that a lot in life, don't we? A lack of character always reveals itself in the end for what you really, really are. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Think about it. The peace of God. And it does surpass understanding, doesn't it? It's so hard for us to grasp it, but we know it's there. And it surely is something that we want to hold on to. Don't pawn your peace. And last of all, when you go into Satan's pawn shop, there will be things there that will catch your eye. There will be things there that are in the world, and they will cause you to turn away from Christ and to seek those things, and you end up pawning your soul. But Jesus says, "What is a man to profit if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul?" Don't sell your soul to buy attention. Sometimes people will do anything to get attention. Did you know that? Even selling their soul. And if you sell your soul for money, don't expect a meaningful return. It's not worth it. That's what Christ said in Matthew the 6th chapter and Mark chapter 8. Says, "What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" A lot of things. But don't be a pawn in someone else's game. You live your life harmoniously with the will of God. Don't shake hands with the devil. Don't go near his pawn shop. You just might end up pawning your soul, from whence there is no return. This morning, in spite of the devil, we're going to offer an invitation here. To those of you that may be out of Christ, that are not Christians, we're offering you an invitation to become one, a child of God, by acknowledging your belief in Christ. So a confession made on the lips of all people and by being baptized for the remission of sin. We're going to sing a song and give you the opportunity to make your way to the front of the building to acknowledge that. Don't pawn your soul. Sometimes people wait until it's too late. And yet again, listen to what he said. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world? If you owned everything that Satan has to offer, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Let us stand and let us sing.